Today, we are continuing our sermon series on the book of Romans. Previously, we studied that the righteousness of God is revealed through Jesus. While we have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, we are made right by placing our faith in Jesus, who demonstrated the faithfulness of God. Since we have been made right in God's sight, we have peace with God. Without Jesus, we would have no peace. We would not have peace with God. As we study Romans, may we deepen our understanding of the gospel and appreciate that we have peace with God. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of your gospel and appreciate our reconciliation with you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this passage begins, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." Dear friends, we have become right in God's sight by faith, both Jesus' faithfulness and our faith in Jesus. Jesus has reconciled us with God. We have peace with God. We did not have peace with God without Jesus. Sometimes we may take having peace with God, our relationship with God, for granted. It can seem to be a given for us, particularly those of us who've grown up in the faith as children. I mean, we're in Sunday school and we would boldly sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I mean, it's just, for us, it's just the air we breathe. But it's important to pause and be reminded how truly amazing it is that we have peace with God, this God who created the universe, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, pure, and holy. We have peace. We are free from our bondage to sin. This is in contrast to Roman peace, which Paul's readers would have in mind. Pax Romana, and this peace occurred through conquering others and subjecting them to Roman rule. This wasn't peace. This was oppression. Because we have peace with God, we have peace in our lives. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul envisions peace in the church that embraces all the members and is a light to others. Dear friends, let us live our lives and our faith community to demonstrate the peace that can only come from God. In verse 2, "Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." Through faith, we are invited to approach God. We do not deserve this privilege. It is a gift from God through Jesus. Let us receive this gift confident in Jesus with joy. We trust in God, looking forward to sharing God's glory as children of God. Now, if you recall, we as Lutherans believe that we are justified through baptism, through the blood of God, Jesus, and then we are in the process of being sanctified as we continue to work through our faith, and then when we die, it is our glorification. In verse 3, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." While we have peace with God, there is suffering. Persecution of Christians was occurring then, and Paul had experienced it personally. We as Christians, I think, we don't want to be reminded of suffering, and there is those who are preaching what's called sometimes a gospel of prosperity, where you know, if you believe, everything is going to be good. You're going to have all you need, and that's really not true. And when we read this passage, we're reminded that the person who wrote most of the New Covenant, most of the New Testament, rather, the person who was able to take the message to so many parts of the Roman Empire, so many places, developing churches, that he suffered. Paul is explaining that suffering is part of the larger story of God and believers, but that story ends with God's victory. This is in contrast to this belief also that the wicked suffer and the righteous do not suffer, which was part of the some of the passages that people would read then. So therefore, we know that we have hope and joy. Paul explains, suffering produces endurance. Some translations indicate that suffering produces patience, and patience is also part of the fruit of the Spirit. God had long-suffering patience with his people, with us. The Bible is filled with stories of God's long-suffering patience. And I think that's important for us to remember, that that's a virtue of God. Paul is suggesting suffering produces endurance, which produces strength of character. Now, this doesn't mean, then, pushing forward despite adversity, but rather remaining in the midst of problems without feeling defeated. It is easier to bear adversity knowing that we have the presence of God with us and we have each other. This lightens our burdens. We have hope. Verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Our hope through God does not disappoint us. Again, we can trust God. God keeps his promises. God is faithful. God loves us dearly and is present in all circumstances, joyous ones and difficult ones. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with God's love. Filled with God's love, let us respond by loving God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. In verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us, sinners. We were utterly helpless against sin. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which we studied several Sundays ago, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is part of the human condition. God knows this. God loves us. And God rescued us from this condition. Christ died for us sinners. This powerful verse helps us to be humble and realize our need for God, for reconciliation, for peace with God, which again we've received through Jesus. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Christ dying for us to reconcile us to God demonstrates unfailing love, grace. Someone might die for a righteous person or an especially good person. This would be a great sacrifice. But we were sinners, utterly helpless, and completely unworthy of Christ's loving sacrifice. So let us contemplate with grateful hearts the love of Jesus, who gave his life on the cross to reconcile us with God. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. Again, as Paul wrote in chapter 3, verse 25, "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood." Remember, God is pure and holy, and God does not tolerate sin. Righteousness required the penalty for sins. Sin cannot be overlooked, ignored, downgraded. God never said, "It's okay, I know you didn't really mean it." God does not tolerate sin. So to satisfy the penalty of sin, Jesus died on the cross. This is mercy. This is grace. This is love. The shedding of Jesus' blood alludes to the shedding of blood of sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would enter the temple to offer sacrifices for the people of God's sin. But it had to be repeated annually. When Jesus died on the cross, this sacrifice was sufficient. As Jesus said when he was dying, "It is finished." Since we have been reconciled with God through Christ, we may be confident that we will be saved from condemnation. We trust in our salvation in addition to our reconciliation through Jesus. The death of Jesus on the cross assured us of our reconciliation with God, the forgiveness of sins. The resurrection of Jesus assures us of our resurrection and our salvation. Paul continues in verse 10, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made friends of us with God. As sinners, we were enemies of God, but our friendship with God has been restored through Jesus." Does this verse have implications for us with our enemies? Do we pray for them for healing and for them to have relationships with God? Do we pray for reconciliation with them if they have been one of our friends or perhaps a family member? Christians who are persecuted in other parts of the world often indicate that they pray for their persecutors, that their persecutors may come to know Jesus and surrender their lives to Jesus. I'm always amazed when I read that and think about that and the love and the faith that they have. Jesus also prayed for forgiveness for those who participated in his crucifixion. So let us follow their leads and pray for our enemies. Let us rejoice in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This gratitude to Jesus is a core value at Hope. During our hymn sings before our worship service begins, we frequently choose to sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." By singing this hymn, we acknowledge our relationship with Jesus, our friendship with Jesus, that we trust Jesus with all of our sins and griefs to bear, and that we know that Jesus is faithful. So may we always be grateful for the most important relationship in our lives, our relationship with God. May we take care to not just take it for granted. Please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you give us peace, peace with God and peace in our lives. We thank you for reconciling us to God, and we thank you for our relationship with you and with God. We ask that you help us to pray for our enemies, that this is something we can't do on our own, but we can do it with you. We can do it through your help so that our enemies may know you and may have deep personal relationships with you. In your precious name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen.